you guys holding up? You guys both doing okay and everything?
I'm doing all right. I just hit record, but I think I need to pee.
Okay, you can go pee.
Don't know why I waited until to pee.
What kind of guy you are, Chris? Stay the same, don't ever change, cause I'd miss your ways. With your Betty Davis eyes and your mama's party dress. While the city pumps, it's aching hard for one more drop of blood. We work our fingers down to dust, and we wait for kingdom come with the radio on.
I'm Justin.
This is Bruce.
And I'm Mike.
And this is
The Breaking!
Crash!
I'm eating noodles!
Episode 49.
I'm drinking Yingling.
I'm back from wherever you guys sent me.
Been for a couple triloquism of school.
Yeah.
So your hands are now smaller and slicker. And
mm-hmm. That wasn't because of ventriloquism school.
The smaller part or the slicker part?
Both. So,
anyways.
Here we are. Mike sounds great.
Thank you.
Something's different, Mike.
I don't know. I think it's because of my sexy new internet.
It could be hard. Maybe now you're a man.
Well, that could be it, too. I'm going to go with the internet, because that's the big change from last time, so.
Well, this is episode 49. What were we talking about this episode?
Season 4, episode 9.
Anyway. Is it season 4, episode 9?
I think we're actually in season 5, technically. But
no, we're still season 4.
I have no idea.
Anyways.
Because when we get to 50, we're not season 5.
No.
Whatever.
It's just, anyways.
Volume.
Volume
4. Episode 9.
There you
chapter
go.
4.
Sorry.
Episode.
Book 4, chapter 9.
Page 23, verse 17. Yay, though I sat across from Justin and listened to Mike on the headphones.
So tonight we're going to review a couple things and then move on to other topics.
Which is new for us, I think.
I think so. Well, it's actually kind of a little staple. Well, one of the things that Mike didn't review on a past episode, which I then requested that he does review, and he did him pure Mike style, was a Star Trek movie he missed. He missed Star Trek Insurrection.
What is that, 8?
No, that's 8, yes, 8, yes.
9.
No?
No, it's 9. Because there are 10 movies altogether, yeah. So it's 9.
No, there's more than 10. There's 11 now.
Right. Well, okay.
Nemesis was 10, wasn't it?
Right.
Nemesis was 9.
Yeah. No, Nemesis was 10, because it had the X.
6, Star Trek. Right? Okay.
Well, that's not. Just, why don't you trust us?
Generations.
Why would you not trust
7.
Him? First Contact.
First Contact, Insurrection,
number
Nemesis.
9.
No, I'm pretty sure Nemesis was 10. Because it's
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Insurrection's 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Good.
Doubter.
We're arguing about the same crap. That's Doubter. Awesome.
Doubter.
I'm glad I'm back.
Going to charge you by the minute.
Mike, you finally watched, well, why don't you just talk about it?
Well, I haven't finished the movie yet, but I was watching it with my son. I told you this already. So, but I did watch it, and it is completely a different movie than any of the other 3 Next Generation movies.
Especially the ending, which you haven't gotten to yet.
Clearly. it does remind me a little more of an episode, like you guys had said, and I've heard that about a lot of people. But I enjoy it because it's kind of fun like an episode, too. It's not serious tone or over the top, like Bruce put it, like it is in First Contact. But it's kind of got the fun vibe that Generations does, but not like nearly the scope of it. You know, it's a little more focused.
I just don't feel that it warranted a movie. It's not a story that takes 2 hours to tell.
Well, I think it's only 92 minutes anyways. It's a shorter one. It's one of the shorter ones, I think.
She just ran that on TV.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And like I said, I think it's bigger scope than an episode per se, but I think you could put it on like what was the two-parter where they go to Romula and meet up with Spock. What was the name of that?
Romulus?
No.
No, see, that's the name of the planet. I was correcting you. He said Romula, the female planet.
I can't think of the title.
Still the sexy woman with bowl cuts.
But that's what, like, it's kind of serious tone like that was because of what's going on. But you're right. It's like a high budgeted episode.
Yeah. And I'd like, there's three highlights in the movie, and that's Data singing.
Yes.
Riker shaving his beard.
Yes.
And then Admiral getting his face stretched off.
And see, oh, yeah. I think I'm there.
I better be there.
No, we're good.
Oh, well, we're worried about me spoiling a movie that's, what, 15 years old?
It came out in 1998.
Yeah.
So 15 years old?
1 hour and 43 minutes.
There you go. So.
Wow.
According to, by Price is Right rules, since I'm under, I still win, so.
So you watched it?
Part of it.
You watched part of it? The part of it you watched, you agree with me and Justin?
For the most part, but I think it's enjoyable. It's something I wouldn't mind watching again. Like, if it's on, I'd probably be like, eh, I'd watch this.
I think the biggest thing we need to take away from this is, from this point forward, if you don't know something but me and Justin tell you something, just agree.
Okay. Fair enough. The one thing I thought was kind of neat was the transporter darts, actually. That they, you know what, did you guys like the
transporter darts? You're pretty far into the movie. You're almost there. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I
can actually see the movie in my head.
They used that technology before in an episode.
Which one? Okay.
Where Picard faked that he was a smuggler, taken aboard an alien ship. Remember they had...
Anson Roe?
Was it Anson Roe? They had phaser rifles that they thought disintegrated Picard, but it was actually a teleporter beam. So they kind of had that technology before. That wasn't a big reinvention.
I know, but it's not something that was common either. Like, you didn't see it all the time. You know what I mean?
No, because I
never
those things like an Insurrection, the mobile transporter. It's such a MacGuffin. It has one purpose, one use. If they had that technology readily available in every minute of every episode and every movie, they'd be indefeatable.
Unification. Right. That was the name of the episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm just using the internet.
Yeah, but I mean, you remember?
Yeah, I don't know. No, I'm talking about that one. I'm talking about the one that Mike talked about, Spock.
Oh.
Yeah, the one with Anson Roe is one
where I don't even, was it Roe? Because it was somebody stealing artifacts? I don't, who cares? But, well, I'm basically saying that wasn't anything new.
Yeah, because he, like, pretended he was, like, he was on an alien. He wasn't Roe. No, he was on another spaceship. And he, like, took a man. He
the
was
guy who played Tuvok was in it. I remember that. Yeah. He was
the guy who played Tupac?
Yes,
no, Tuvok. From Voyager.
Tim Russ.
Oh, speaking of movies that people have watched, I finally watched Super 8.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know what you guys are talking about, Phil.
I said I enjoyed it.
What?
I enjoyed it, but there's one part of the movie that really jumped out to me. So, you're kind of supposed to feel sorry for the alien, is the impression I got. They wanted you to kind of feel sorry for this alien, but then they show him rip off a man's leg and eat it.
Uh-huh. He's hungry.
That's unforgivable. That's not adorable and cuddly, to rip off a man's leg and eat it.
But at the same point in time, he's been tortured for so long. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
yeah, you. I don't know. You can't make a sympathetic cannibal. That's not possible.
Well, we should work on that.
Except for Ronald Reagan. People loved him.
Going to go back to our topic of...
Sir,
he just sucked the charm out of people's bone marrow.
Hey.
It's probably what gave him Alzheimer's, you know.
I've also been watching a crap load of DC movies.
Too. Oh, the animated ones?
Yeah. I watched Doom, which is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as good as the comic it was based on.
No.
Yeah, no. What was the other one I watched after that? The other Justice League one.
Crisis on Two Earths?
No. No, that's not
New
out.
Frontier?
No, it's not on there.
Tell us who was in it. Tell us what happened in it. Speak.
Oh, Justice League. Warner. No, it was Superman, Batman, Apocalypse.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
Aquaman, I don't know what was that. I thought there was another Justice League one.
No, those are the only three.
Yeah, there's another Superman one coming out, next week? Week after next?
Yeah, then I watched, what was the other one?
Did you watch All-Star Superman?
Yeah, it was okay.
It's not as good as the comic, but thought it did pretty well to it, though.
It did. Luther was good at it and all that, but it didn't have the thing where he cures cancer.
Superman Shazam. which was only like 20 minutes. I was spending the whole movie like, man,
that's a short. Isn't
yeah. It? Well, and then it was like Spectre.
It's a series of shorts. Spectre. Yeah. The Spectre short is one is the best short they've ever done.
I haven't seen any of the shorts. Because of the way I watch the other movies, the shorts aren't available to me.
Well, I will let you borrow it some more time, Bruce, because it's actually really good.
I'd like to see the – there's a Jonah Hex short, isn't there?
Yeah, and that's – I would say that's – because there's four technical – well, five now. There's with the Catwoman one that's on year one. But there was the Spectre one, which was first, which was on Crisis on Two Earths, which is shot like this 70s kind of grindhouse thing, and it's awesome. It looks really good. And then there's the Jonah Hex one, which is really good because it's voiced by Thomas Jane, does Jonah Hex. And then the main girl is, the chick from Terminator.
Linda Hamilton?
The mom, yeah, thank you.
Really? She's getting up there in years, isn't she?
It's just a voiceover, though.
Yeah, but she sounded rough when she was young. Yeah,
I know.
She's never been an attractive woman.
I'd act the way you talk, 800.
She's a prostitute, so. But then it's the Green Arrow one, which is, it's okay. And then the Superman Shazam one, which is, it's not bad. It's pretty good. It's pretty cool because who's the guy who voices Shazam?
Jerry O'Connell.
Thank you.
Oh, did he come back?
Yeah, he came
back.
I
loved him in the Justice League Unlimited.
He just voiced it?
Yeah, he has a great voice for that.
Oh, yeah.
I have every episode of Unlimited.
I haven't seen it.
It's on Netflix now too.
That's why I've been watching.
And if Bruce, if you go onto Netflix now, if you go to Superman Shazam, it should have it broken down into four episodes. I think at least that's the way they did it at one point in time, where you can watch all the shorts.
Oh, I didn't know they had the shorts.
Batman Under the Red Hood.
That's a good movie. I like that.
And then Batman Year One. And I like Batman Year One the best.
Batman Year One was pretty solid.
It's actually pretty close to the.
Yeah, Frank, Returns Part 1 is excellent, though. I really liked it.
I'll wait for that to show up on Netflix.
It'll probably be there soon.
I didn't care much, but I didn't like The Dark Knight.
But coming from, my couple-year sabbatical of not watching these because I could not stand the first couple.
I can't remember. You didn't like Justice League New Frontier, did you?
I didn't like that. I liked the Wonder Woman thing.
I liked the Flash. I liked the Flash in most.
I didn't like Death of Superman.
Wonder Woman was good. Yeah.
I didn't watch Wonder Woman or Green Lantern. I haven't seen those.
Green Lantern is totally missable. It's really not worth it.
Well, the other one.
It's okay.
Wayne's voice. Actually, it's not even him, is it? That's Chris Maloney from SVU, isn't it?
As Green Lantern?
Yeah. Nathan
I can't remember.
Is in the second Green Lantern, isn't he?
The Emerald Warriors or whatever.
Yeah.
That's actually really good because it's basically Tales of the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And it's awesome because you get the Mogo Doesn't Socialize bit, and you get and I think Balfolga is voiced by oh my god, who was I can't remember who voices him now, but I want to say it's John DiMaggio, the guy who voices Bender.
Yeah.
He does a lot of stuff. He voiced the Joker in Under the Red Hood.
Yeah, he did.
I
thought it'd be a movie. Yeah. Elite.
What's that?
Superman Elite.
Oh yeah,
that
I liked that. Liked the animation.
Superman Elite was really good, and I thought they did a good job adapting Doug Monkey's art style too. I was really impressed with that.
Yeah, Manchester Black looked good in there.
Yeah, I thought that was good, and then I was disappointed. I didn't care for Apocalypse too much.
It looked good.
Yes. And the way it ended.
Ed McGuinness's art is just not.
Yeah, it's hard. The reason that Apocalypse was really bad is because they adapted Michael Turner's art for that. Not.
Oh, was it Michael Turner? I apologize. I'm so sorry.
Who did you think it was?
Public.
I thought it was McGuinness.
Public Enemies was McGuinness.
I haven't seen that one.
Okay.
I would like to see the third Superman Batman one where the Legion raises Superman and Batman as like their own proteges, and Carlos Pacheco. I thought that was a really interesting story. Actually.
Time travel. They go back in time.
Yeah. I like that.
I won't be surprised if they do the Jim Lee, Geoff Johns one next.
the
how will they animate that? All the cross hatching.
They can't do the lines. They can't do already like a multiple costume line. They're like, we need to simplify this. Take these lines off of Superman.
Or do you think it'll all be CGI? I don't know. Who cares?
It doesn't matter. It'll be
the next one's Flashpoint, actually.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, I
that's
really going to
be convoluted.
Yeah.
On Infinite Earth.
Well, supposedly they're just treating it as like, this is what happened, and they fix it kind of thing, I guess. I don't know. I really haven't followed.
Oh, so instead of going to the 52 universe at the end, it just goes back to normal the way it should have?
I don't know. Maybe. I haven't, like I said, I don't know much.
That's the ending I'm going to animate for it.
You mean the way that Age of Ultron's going to end here in, like, the next month or whatever?
That doesn't even exist.
Yeah, like, it's really funny because it's like, this isn't the alternate reality.
Yeah, that's how they promoted it.
And then it's like, oh, wait, this is an alternate reality. Yeah. That's all it is.
I had no idea what you guys were talking about.
It's a Marvel event.
All right, I'm out of Marvel. Right.
Stuff happens. No one cares. The coolest thing about it is Captain America and Cyclops both lost eyes.
Hmm.
I like characters with eye patches.
I don't think Cyclops has an eye. America has an eye in Captain and America.
Do you
what is that now? Like,
that's funny. You're funny
America?
America?
What's his name? It's just Merca.
Merca. I apologize. I think I hijacked this podcast.
Yeah, let's talk about.
No, it's we had fun reviewing these. So yeah. Bruce, does that mean like Jesse from Preacher as well too? Since he ends up with an eye patch.
Yeah, I like most characters with eye patches.
There you go. I want to see
it. Do you have a particular eye that you like covered?
Left.
Anyways, so the other thing we're going to review is we've all had a gander at the new Mark Millar and Frank Quitely book, Jupiter's Legacy, put out by Image.
I would prefer that you had those names in the opposing order.
Wow, what a great intro that was, too, Mike.
You know,
like that?
Yeah.
It was smooth.
Yeah.
It's like honey.
I wanted to actually like read the book after you said that. Like not read what I wrote. I read. I want to read what you just said.
No, I think Frank Quitely's name should come first.
Yeah.
I would agree, though I would say, not according to us, but I would say a lot of people would probably say Mark Millar's the bigger deal. I know you're not a fan of Millar at all, are you, Bruce?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. Justin, you enjoyed a lot of Mark's previous stuff, and I think most people know you're a huge, huge Frank Quitely fan, right?
Yes, I'm a big Mark Millar fan. I didn't really care for this issue too much.
What would you say his greatest book was he ever wrote? I'm trying to like find the highlight of this guy's career that should have changed my opinion of it.
I like Superman Red Son and Old Man Logan. Did he write Old Man Logan?
The first two issues or something?
Old Man Logan?
I didn't care much for it. Superman Red Son was great, but I think it was great because he got to make up everything.
Anything he did on Adventures of Superman.
Yeah. That's not a real comic.
What about his Ultimate X Men stuff, Bruce?
Yeah. Oh, that's when Bruce and I first started talking. Yeah. Ultimate X Men, because you're talking about the Phoenix Saga, Dark Phoenix Saga, and Hellfire Club, and we were at the party.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, what is this gay?
I thought Kirkman did a better job on Ultimate X Men.
Yeah.
I think Brian K. Vaughan.
I didn't read any of his.
Oh,
because he came after Millar, didn't he?
No, and then it came from Millar, right. Then it was Vaughn, then it was Kirkman.
Okay.
But Vaughn was only on for, like, I think 12 or 15 issues.
They were
15
issues,
run.
Though.
Yeah, I can't think of, like, he reinvented the Authority, supposedly, but I didn't care much for his
Authority. Out of his Icon books, I didn't finish Superior. I don't know why, I just didn't get the books, apparently.
There's also Nemesis.
Nemesis was good, and I like Kick-Ass. I like the girl, Hit Girl.
I did not like, I bought the first issue of Kick-Ass, which is somewhere in my house. Probably worth money now, but I don't care. I didn't like it, and I didn't care much for the movie.
Oh, God, I love the movie.
What about Wanted?
I did like the comic Wanted, okay. But I hated the movie.
Yeah.
You hated? Like that that month?
Yeah, because I expected a lot out of it because I liked that director.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was stylistically really cool. I didn't really care for some of the... We're getting so off track, but that's
uh-huh.
Right.
This is like going to be like a 2 minute.
Here's what Wanted did for me. One, I thought they were able to do something stylistically different, and I'm not talking about the bullet thing. I thought the bullet thing was stupid. That's the one thing I did not enjoy about the movie because that's not even a proponent in the book. You know what I mean? Like, that was just, that was a way to make it superhero-y without having to go through all the backlog of, like, the multiple universes and everything. And so I get that much. Like, I get, but I think that movie put Sean McAvoy on the map for me, though.
Because
I thought he did really, that's wrong, right, Sean? Is that right, Sean McAvoy?
John,
thank you. I thought he did a great job in the movie. And, I mean, it's got Morgan Freeman in there, so it's... I thought he played the loser character better at the beginning, too. Like, I wouldn't have wanted to see Eminem in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, I think they did a decent job trying to adapt that. But, I, like I said, the bullet thing is what really killed it for me. Huh. But I did enjoy the movie. I mean, I own it. I like the movie.
The coolest thing about the comic was that it was the supervillains. And in the movie, it's like, we're a League of Assassins.
Yes, I know.
There's no similarity. Why even call it Wanted? Why bother?
They wanted to
get used to characters.
And then Mark Millar is like, hey, I'm now in charge of all Fox properties. Based on a successful movie that really has nothing in common with the version of it I wrote.
Mark Millar was pretty smart in that then, wasn't he?
I think...
Are you just mad that he's technically your boss? Is that what the problem is?
Is it? No, it has nothing to do with me. I defer to Bryan Singer. who does not defer to Mark Millar.
Fair enough.
There was a quote...
Anyways,
oh, God, was it Murdoch?
But, no, there was a quote from Bryan Singer, because they'd ask him about Mark Millar's plans with something else.
Uh-huh.
And Singer...
Well, that's a good title for a book.
What? Something else?
Yeah.
And
is that Monty Python book?
Singer said something very, very, I can't remember. It was very just dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I haven't talked to him yet. Yeah. I really don't need his opinion or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. I'm sure I'm misquoting him, but.
Cool.
Yeah, essentially, it was very, whatever. You know,
right.
It's Bryan Singer. He's making another X-Men movie.
Right.
I was
going
to tell him he's doing something wrong.
Right.
But there again, you got McAvoy in X-Men First Class, which I really enjoyed, too.
It's a good movie.
Now, both him and Michael Fassbender were in Band of Brothers together.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't watch it.
Good stuff. So, Frank Whiteley, yep. I like his artwork in the book, but my biggest problem with the book, and I guess it's because I was spoiled with All-Star Superman, is that just...
There's not enough cool moments.
This doesn't, like, I wish it would just done, like, an ending to, you know, like,
It's an ongoing.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing that's interesting, without trying to give too much away about this book, is that the premise that I could kind of, the only way I could kind of work up in my mind is, it's kind of like the Marvel family with the ideals of Superman.
Hmm.
As I read it, because I got it last week, and I read through it really fast, and I was like, okay, that was, okay. You know, like that, like, all I could think is the book looked really good, but it was pure setup.
Yeah. Parts of it made me think of Tom Strong, like the island aspect and how it started out, you know, it's the 20s and whatever. And then parts of it made me think it's just like, okay, this is what would happen if the Justice League all had kids.
And see, I kind of got that too, but the reason I thought more of the Marvel family is how everybody's related.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to one way or the other, they refer to him as uncle. And I think about, like, had, like, you started with, what was it, Wiz Comics? Was that what Mark, So if you started in the 50s or whenever it was and kept going where characters gradually, progressively got older, and this is where it would be now. Like, you know, the kids are just kind of like, oh, we're superheroes. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah,
you know, like,
I think this comic would have resonated more with me if it came out 10 years ago, or hell, even 20 years ago, during that whole, you know, Generation X, no one gives a shit type of phase, because that's kind of what I feel he's going for.
And that makes sense coming from him, because he probably is in that category, you know what I mean?
Does it ring true still, though?
I mean, some of the ideals that, like, you think, in a sense, because the big... You know, I mean, kind of giving something away, I guess. But, like, there's the big argument between the two brothers or whatever. And, you know, how the one says, you know, we always need to follow the path of what the president, you know, like, this is what the country's founded on. We have to trust that. And he's, you know, and he's saying that, the you know, the senators and the politicians are all corrupt and everything. I think that rings pretty true to today. The kids aspect, maybe not so much, but there's so many kids that are like, who cares about politics too? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the one thing that as I'm reading Jupiter's Legacy, the son, as I'm reading it, I kept thinking that if this was a movie, I could see Jared Padalecki playing the son. And I watch a lot of Supernatural, and he's the younger brother on there, but he's like the taller, bigger guy.
Yeah,
not
Jensen longer hair.
Yeah, all I could think of is like, this is totally Jared Padalecki. That's all I could see as I'm reading this. And I could hear him delivering these lines and everything, too, so it was kind of funny.
I thought I still like Quietly, but I thought his art was a bit more sparse in this. There's not a lot of establishing shots. There's not a lot of complicated backgrounds. I think it's fair to say that a third of the comic takes place on a grassy knoll.
Yeah. the part where he's in the guy's head, that was a good shot because like there's a framing sequence in there that was kind of neat.
Yeah, where he breaks it down. He's like, "Yeah, me drawing a world."
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. It's an issue where like if I had to like if you give it a review, you know, a review from 1 to 10, and you think about half of the review should be based on art and half of it would be based on writing, I would give this book probably a 7 because there's not much to the writing, but I think maybe a 6 because I would say the art would be a 4 and I would give the writing a 2.
Yeah, I agree with you on 6. And based on that, I'm not sure I'd come back for a second issue.
It's not a way to really grab attention. I think that they're banking on people just saying, well, it's Mark Millar and Frank Quitely, so clearly this is going to get badass sooner or later. So we'll stick around. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's kind of what they're – at least Mark Millar's banking on.
Yeah.
And he
– Justin?
I'm not coming back for anything. Maybe a trade eventually.
Just in – you want to see Frank's artwork too, right?
Yeah, just see how it pans out.
That's how far ahead has he worked?
I have no idea. From what this issue has been done for several months, I think.
Okay. I mean, is it going to be one of those things where the first 3 issues comes out and then we have to wait a year for the fourth one?
That's a good question. I don't know how to. I mean, I bought the first issue. I'll see when the second one comes out and I'll kind of go from there and I'll just judge it month to month or 3 months to 3 months, however long it is. But I mean, if it's going to be like that, I'm not going to wait around for it.
Yeah.
I'll just keep reading Saga because that book continues to blow me away. I pick it up monthly.
I've already monthly pre-ordered
it. I love it that much.
Yeah, I just can't bring myself to do that anymore. I pre-ordered the second trade.
You're gonna like it, but I don't. It's weird to say. I think the story's finally progressing at a faster pace too, which is nice. They've set up a bunch of stuff and they keep adding to it, but there's more happening now and it's pretty cool. Like, I like it a lot.
I think we're at a half hour here, Mike. we are, seriously.
Hey, this is 27 minutes. Yeah,
27 minutes. So let's take a break and we'll come back.
Hey, Brian, you want to do what we do every night?
No, Pinky. Tonight we check out that wonder kid, Ryan H. Drake.
You mean that fantastic chap at ryanhdrake.deviantart.com?
Yes, Pinky. The one and only.
Should we cue the music?
Of course.
RyanHDrake.deviantart.com. RyanHDrake.deviantart.com. More than art, it's really quite the fun. He raises all the stakes. He'll do a double take. Will you check out RyanHDrake.deviantart.com? Come
and join us.
Oh, I see what you did there, Brian. Nice.
Hey, we're back for another part of this exciting episode 49.
Maybe a shorter one. Who knows?
Possibly.
Who knows?
Or longer. There's math involved.
Well, it's always longer than what near my name is. Go ahead.
Woohoo!
This one, this part of the episode, is about copyrights.
And quiet voices. Politeness.
So, the way this started up was this 2 weeks ago, Bruce, I think? Something like that? I sent you an article about Kurt Busiek discussing what would have happened if Superman would have gone through his original copyright process and lapsed in the public domain in, I guess it would have been like the 70s, correct, or so?
76, I think.
There you go.
Because it was 50-some years, 47 years after his creation.
Right.
Before the first time Congress extended copyright. I'm sorry, Mike. This is what I was talking about math. Yeah, in 1976, he should have lasted the public domain.
There you go. So, Bruce, give him the briefing on how copyright initially worked.
Okay, so according to a little bit of research I did here, you could originally copyright something for 28 years, and then you had the right to renew it for an additional 28 years, making it a total of 56. In 1976, they extended it from 28 to 47 years. And I believe that was... No, okay, so then extended to 47 years, and then you had the chance to renew it, making it for a total of 75. Then in 1998, due to Mickey Mouse getting ready to lapse into public domain, Congress yet again extended it. They added just a flat additional 20 years, making it 95 years. But Mickey Mouse comes back up, or his copyright would lapse in 2018. So chances are pretty good Congress is going to extend it then. But as it stands, Superman will now lapse into public domain in 2033.
Okay.
That's all the numbers out of the way.
So the point Kurt Busiek was trying to make, if I'm recalling, I'm not looking at it right now, that if Superman would have lapsed into public domain, the amount of creators that would have access to do different things with Superman and not having just editors at DC control where Superman or what Superman was going to do would have done more with the character than what has been done with him.
Yeah.
Am I surmising that right?
Yeah, but also you have to keep in mind what parts of Superman are copyrighted and what parts aren't.
Right, anything that's copyrighted. Correct. Original Superman.
So this is like that weird S shield that he had from the beginning. I don't think he was flying yet. I don't think he was Kryptonian yet. There was a lot of stuff that was not...
Lex Luthor, Jimmy Olsen, Perry White, none of that stuff was in Action Comics number one.
Correct. So, yeah.
And then you get into the thing where it's copyright versus trademark. Trademark now expires.
Right. So the Superman S is now a trademark.
Right.
The Batman...
Just the visual look.
Right.
And the slogan, up, up, and away.
Correct. So you could basically, if this lapses in 33 or whatever, you can take the basic principle behind Superman and do additional stuff without violating trademark.
Right. It's an alien baby from another planet crashed to Earth. Grew up.
I don't even think there wasn't even an alien thing. I think he was a guy that
he was a strange visitor from another planet.
Oh, that
sure
was
in the,
okay.
I don't know if they said Krypton or not.
Well, did Action Comics number one? I thought it showed him crashing to Earth.
Maybe it did. Yeah, because then they showed him he has amazing powers. It's like they showed ants or a grasshopper. He could leave a cricket.
Yeah.
And then he had ant power basically, which is that he could lift things 8 or 16
times.
Right,
and he wore his underwear on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
That's a circus performer.
I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Well, the strongman. He was going off the old strongman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Grant Morrison had an interesting talk about that. So that's why.
It's weird to look back at Superman and then think of his contemporaries who are now public domain.
Right. Because, you think about it, the original Blue Beetle, Dan Garrett, that's public domain.
Yeah.
Daredevil. The original death-defying Daredevil.
Yeah.
Which is that character that, what's his name? Larson uses, a lot. He loves that character.
Well, half of the Dynamite comics library.
Right.
Is all public domain.
Including Daredevil.
Yeah.
Not to be confused. The thing I really like about the Daredevil look, too, is you have that, half red, half black, and then it, alternate. I don't know, it's just kind of... It seems very basic, but it's a fun look to it.
Did he have boomerangs on his belt?
Yep.
And his eyes were solid white. He had a mouth that moved with his costume.
Something like that, I think.
Weird look.
I have to get Alex Ross on here and interview him.
Oh, yeah. We'll just pull him right up.
Exactly. He knows all about the public domain characters.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay. Justin's got connections, so, you know.
He must have, like, a wife or girlfriend, I can
sidle up to.
Right.
But the point is just, like, where does this go? You know what I mean? Like, if it wouldn't have, you know, gone past that, where would these different ideas for Superman have gone? You know what
I mean? You got to think, if in 76, all of a sudden the property got diluted, we wouldn't be sitting here waiting for the next Superman movie to come out.
Correct.
It wouldn't be precious anymore. It would be almost too much of a good thing at that point, wouldn't it?
Or maybe it dilutes itself, you know, for 20 years, you know, like maybe like, let's say 70s to, God forbid, the 90s, you know, like you when everything started going crazy anyways with most comics, that maybe, like, in the next 10 years, that would have been the time to, like, revitalize. I could see Eric Larson bringing him in to Savage Dragon. I feel like that would have been one of the first characters he would have brought in.
No problem.
Him and Batman just, you know, hanging out, chugging brew. Well, Savage Dragon.
I guess the question is, how much does Sherlock Holmes change from incarnation to incarnation? You know, he's public, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look at Sherlock, you look at Elementary, kind of rip off. Big rip-off. Call it what it is. Sherlock Holmes, Robert Downey Jr. How much different is than what?
House. The TV show House.
Sherlock, okay.
Yeah. Well, no, seriously. I mean, you look at House, it's Sherlock Holmes.
You also have the old Sherlock Holmes in the 70s.
Right.
Or the other ones.
The Matt Frewer Sherlock series from the 90s.
So.
Christopher Lee was Sherlock for a while, and I think in the 50s? 60s, maybe?
Right. 60s.
There's several serials and stuff like that, too, so.
And, I mean, Justin has a good point there. Even though something is public domain and something is used on a daily basis, it doesn't become mundane. You know, cream rice.
This is the mouse on Baker Street. The Great Mouse Detective. That's obviously purely Sherlock Holmes.
Actually, I really watched that. About a week ago, and he's actually at Sherlock Holmes' place.
Yeah, he's right on.
Right, because there's a part where
Holmes is talking. I didn't even know that as a kid. I thought it was just kind of like, why do they use Sherlock Holmes? Why do they call him now Sherlock Holmes? And then I realized, oh, he's actually at Sherlock Holmes.
Was it Basil on Baker Street? Isn't that what his name is? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Basil on Baker Street. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a that's a great movie.
So he's named after the first person to play Sherlock Holmes.
I think so.
And that's brilliant. So, yeah, I mean, how much do these things change? How much does Robin Hood change? There's variations on a theme, but I think we could have some pretty interesting Superman stories.
What would you have done with if you take the core essence of Superman or Batman even, or something, you know, Justin, what would you say, I would like to take that character and spin my own way with it?
I think with Batman stories, I'd probably... Knowing me, I'd probably go closer to the 60s type, archetype.
Fun loving, good time Batman.
Yeah. And Superman, I'd probably make him darker.
More like go reverse?
No, I don't know about Superman, but definitely Batman. I would definitely take it more of a.
The fun, like.
Fun Batman.
Where Batman slaps Robin around.
I don't think I would even get Robin. I don't think
I'd get
Robin by this point. I don't know. Maybe Robin would be out of public domain by like the 80s.
don't know.
Yeah.
Well, Robin came in not too long after Batman because there were, like, in the 30s, Batman was considered too dark of a character, you know, like...
shot people.
I know. So, yeah, they let... I think it was... Let's see. Batman was 39, yes? Detective Comics 27 was 39.
Yeah,
so,
I think... 1939.
So, I'm pretty sure Robin was 40 or 41, so he would have been public domain now. I would rather just do Robin stories. I think that'd be fun.
I can't get excited about this because I don't get excited about things that actually are in the public domain. So it's hard for me to sit back and say, oh, I'd be so excited if all of a sudden Superman came in public domain. Because I don't give a shit about pre-existing characters.
Well, you want to do any? Is there any characters out there you want to do? Like that are public domain?
No, I'm happy with my own stuff.
Well, life's just peaches and cream.
Yeah, I don't like peaches. I've got to dig them out.
But maybe she's like a book about Alice or something.
Hey, we did talk about that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I just I don't get excited about, hey, if I ever got to do Superman.
You know who did a good public domain Superman?
Who's that?
Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely.
Yes. Yeah. I think that the people that would be most excited about this are the people that have worked on these characters with strong editorial mandates. If they could do the stories they wanted with the characters they wanted without any oversight, that would be a field day for them. But for
right.
Joe Schmo, we can do that anyway now.
So you think we just take our characters and make our own versions?
Yeah. Why not? Isn't that kind of what we've done to a degree?
Yeah, I had Crimson Thunder.
Yeah.
Here's my Superman Shazam, and I got Dark Shadow, my Batman.
Yeah, see, I mean, we, as the independent guys, have already done this and then moved on.
Right. There was something that Eric Larson said on Twitter. I follow him on Twitter. He's an irate person on Twitter to follow. He's fun. He said, he put a quote on there, this was April 26th, he says, if you're reading bad comics, you're reading the wrong ones. For creators, if you're not working on your favorite book, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. He can say that because he's comfortable. Now, if he was to say that 30 years ago, that'd be ballsy.
Oh, he wouldn't have said that 30 years ago. He wouldn't, because if it wasn't for Spider-Man or in, was it Hulk? Was that the other? Yeah, if it wasn't for Spider-Man or Hulk, he doesn't have Savage Dragon. You know what I mean?
No, if he would have peaked at Doom Patrol, you know, and then tried to come up with Savage Dragon, I think, I don't know, he'd be making bread somewhere in a bakery.
I have an issue of Secret Origins where he draws Nightwing, actually, and it's just interesting. That's not a character I would think of him drawing.
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, which costume was it?
It's the old 80s one with, like, the high collar.
With the old, with the big collar. Yeah, that was a no matter who drew that, that was a hideous costume.
I love that costume. I can't help it.
Really?
I'm a big Teen Titans fan, and that was the costume. Like, it was better than that bird, like, heavy armored thing that he wore.
Oh, God.
I like the simplicity of his comic, or his outfit now, but the fact that, like, it was based off of, like, a circus performer costume. That fit Dick Grayson, you know what I mean?
Yeah, back when circus performers were cool.
You know, I'll break a bottle over your head, Bruce. I like that costume. I don't think it would work now by any means, but I'm nostalgic to that costume.
You know what's timeless?
Good thing he wasn't, like, a part of a clown show. I'm Nightwing. Hong Hong.
Yeah.
And Batman's like, this isn't funny.
my parents were fishermen, and they were murdered at the sea. You call me the gull.
Slosh, slosh.
Yeah. He's walking.
Stop sneaking up on people, Nightwing.
Walking in galoshes, wearing dressed like the Gordon's fisherman. I am terror.
Wait,
I am the
night. I know you did last summer.
Yeah. I am the gull. Yep.
Speaking of, like, you know, the Batman thing. There's a guy on Twitter called who posts as the Batman, and he put something on there the other day. It says, you know, if life gives you lemons, just be glad it's lemons. They could have murdered your parents in an alley when you were 8 years old. Like, it's hilarious to follow him. Like, there's just the most ridiculous things. He's like, there's, like, a lot of stuff that he puts about politicians. He's like, sometimes I choose left, sometimes I choose right. It just depends on what side of the face I want to punch the politician in that day.
That's
like, funny. it's really funny stuff.
Oh, Batman.
Yeah.
What else we got?
I don't know. What else do we have?
Justin?
We got nothing. We covered copyrights and copy lefts and copy wrongs.
I would have you mention Free Comic Book Day, but I'm not going to edit this tonight.
No. But, I mean, well, we're talking about that now or later. Or Starburst has just had
the candy
to you by.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Justin, you got to be pretty excited about John Williams, right?
Yeah, that's the thing we didn't wrap up. I knew we had something else to wrap up in that last 30-minute episode part. was that the John Williams thing that, yeah, brings it back. I like the fact that we talk about past episodes. We come back to stuff now. I think it's kind of like, yeah, we're building up something.
We need a crisis.
You know what we haven't talked about, though, ever, is Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
We've never talked about Green Lantern.
It's funny. So, Crichton, he now has a Green Lantern toy, and he has a Howl and a Kilowog. That's what he calls them, because in the TV show, that's how they referred to each other. No one
Green Lantern.
No one ever called them, hey, Green Lantern.
Hmm.
They always talk to each other, Hal and Kilowog. So he has his Hal toy, and he's like, Kilowog, help me. Hal, I'm right here. Take my hand. And I'm like, that's the Green Lantern. He says, no, this Hal.
Hmm.
Like, that sounds like something Ethan would say.
But so while he's a fan, at least, I mean, he recognizes the cartoon, he watches it, and he likes the toy, but he has no idea that he's not Hal.
Right.
No, he's the Green Lantern. He's just Hal.
Yeah.
Not even Hal Jordan, just Hal.
The robot from 2001.
And kill him. I thought that struck me as odd. I'm like, he's going to grow up and not think of him as the Green Lantern first.
Yeah. Why do they call him
Green
Lantern?
He's just a guy to him.
Yeah, like they don't call everybody, hey, cop, hey, police, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He knows the names. Like, you know, you don't talk about, hey, remember that cop that was on NYPD Blue the other night? You know, not like that show's off the air for so long, but I was thinking of Blue Bloods is what I was thinking of, actually. But, you know, like, they wouldn't call Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah. Him just referencing them by their names, it made me realize that I think part of the Green Lantern problem with the movie and the TV show is that Hal wasn't unique.
Yeah.
Green Lantern Corps 54, where are you?
That's awesome. That is awesome. But like Creighton pointed out to me, he's not the Green Lantern. He's just one of the Green Lanterns.
Right.
I thought that was, because can you
That's
imagine?
That's profound for him, too.
Yeah, I mean, would Batman be as big of a deal if there was Batman?
Hmm.
Like if there was 40 guys who patrolled Gotham and they all met in the Batcave and had coffee and worked different shifts?
That's kind of what Grant Morrison did, though.
Now, if he was watching the Fantastic Four, because when they refer to themselves as Reed, Ben, and Sue and John.
Yeah, but they don't have code names.
Fantastic Four?
That's true.
They have a team name. Reed isn't known.
No, they do.
Yeah.
They get invisible.
Huh.
Yeah, but they just call themselves by their names.
Yeah.
Other people call them.
That's true. You know, I forgot that he was known as Mr. Fantastic. Because no one freaking calls him that.
Hmm.
I think they do call him on the superhero squad, though.
Now, the X-Men, they call themselves usually by
code name.
Right.
Yeah, because it always bothered me when they're talking to Storm. They're like, Ororo. I'm like, who? What? Is that slang for something?
Ororo. Get out of here.
I can't hear
your lame powers.
But no, I was like, what? Who?
Hey, I think we're actually
on. I was gonna say, I think we need to put the kibosh on this thing. So
18 minutes. Okay. All right,
It's a Derby City Comic-Con. Tony Isabella, Stuart Sager, Yuko Smith, Bruce Hughes, and Justin Watson. It's all going down June 29th at the Kentucky International Convention Center. That's in Kentucky. They make bourbon there.
BruceHughes.com.
That's fine. We just close out.
What? Oh,
it's fine.
John Williams?
No, we talked about that.
Oh, did we? I think Bruce we started Lee. To talk about it. He's doing the score for
you. Check it out on the internet. It's a John Williams.
Go to the Google.
J.J. Abrams, John Williams, Star Wars.
Justin Watson, boomity boom.
That's right.
So BruceHughes.com, Justin Watson.
I'm all over Facebook.
He's on Facebook and Twitter.
Do
you have a Tumblr yet?
Tumblr?
I got a Tumblr.
You have a Tumblr, Mike? Really?
I have a Tumblr now. I have Instagram, Tumblr. I'm social media. I'm whoring myself out to social media right now.
What's your Tumblr URL?
You know what? I don't know. I'll find out real quick. I don't do anything with it.
Foursquare.
I'm on the Foursquare.
Break into Foursquare.
I'm on MySpace. I got a pretty sweet MySpace page.
What's the new one? Snapchat? There's a lot of people. You guys ever heard of Snapchat?
No, because I live in the real world.
Instacrap.
I don't need a larger digital footprint. I need a footprint that takes care of itself.
I don't have time to do stuff.
I'm looking at my website I pay for. Not over there. I'm just not making eye contact. So I'm going to focus on Mike. My website, I'm like, I haven't updated this in forever. And then I'm like, I'm busy doing things. I don't have time to tell people I'm doing things because I'm actually doing them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I don't know. Francesco Francavilla has plenty of time to post things on Twitter, and he puts out like 3 books right now.
I think he has an assistant. Oh, I'm serious. I think it's an assistant.
All right.
Okay, so Mike, what's your website?
Don't worry about Tumblr. It's just
do a search for Michael the Great Disappointment Adam.
Mike, it's Mike Adams 013 on Tumblr. At Mike T Adams the second on Twitter. Michael T Adams the second on Facebook.
Teddy Adams.
I'm Teddy. Set up a Teddy Adams Twitter.
So awesome.
Teddy Adams Twitter. All right. We're out of here. We'll be back for episode 50 sometime later.
Good night, America. Bruce O. Houston.